This is Mona Lisa Baseball.
I don't know if it had ever been mentioned, but talking about booing, I do want to ensure that A1 knows that I will never forget you're the best boo ever. I was with you and A4 at a G League Warrior game, the first one ever in Santa Cruz.
Oh, hell yeah.
And you just, I mean, it was the best boo ever. And thank you for doing that for us.
Wait, what did he boo?
I lit those fools up. Yeah.
The greatest boo of all time.
I think it was a clock.
Let me walk you through it. I remember it very well.
Management situation.
First game ever.
Oh, beautiful.
Huh. Oh, yeah.
In the arena you used to work in, okay? Santa Cruz Warriors against the Jam. I don't remember what town they're from.
NBA Gatorade League.
It was actually the D League back then, which wasn't cool enough, so they changed it.
That's completely correct. Yeah.
Okay, so there we are.
Yeah.
There's anticipation. The place is full. What is the seating capacity, sir? You used to work there.
A couple thousand.
Okay. A couple thousand people were ready to go. People got signs. It's like, fucking hey, Santa Cruz, look what we've pulled off here.
Oh, God.
We got something going here.
I just remember.
And then they're about to do the tip-off, and then it's like, well, hold on a sec. Where's the towel guy? And they get three or four towel guys, and they start working this area, and you go, wait. You've been getting ready for this moment for how many hours? And I stood up and just booed the holy shit out of them because the place was silent.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. It was the
every single person in the building heard it, which is my favorite time to do it. And there were some nice chuckles, and the kid had it coming.
That's great.
You're a towel boy. What? We need a dry floor. You're the towel guy.
Yeah. Story's actually been told on the podcast before.
Has it?
Recycled material.
You know what? There's a lot of things that we need to repeat because it slips through the cracks. Like a lot of the new rule changes, I know a lot of people who watched the 18-inning game afterwards had this knee-jerk reaction, and I thought it was very interesting to ban the intentional walk because they walked Shohei like five times in a row or something.
They don't know baseball.
Yeah, I know, and we saw Barry Bonds. We know what this is about. It's just so interesting to me to see how quick they're like, hey, no, we can change rules now. It's fine. Like,
oh,
yeah,
God.
That sounds like Stephen A. Smith right there. That sounds like something he said.
I got the answer for you.
Yeah.
Next day, ban it.
America wants to watch Shohei hit a home run.
Oh,
they're literally taking the bat out of his hand, and there's no drama. I think if they made him pitch the four pitches and everyone got to boo, it would at least be like cathartic.
Definitely.
And people wouldn't be so upset about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I was wondering, Shohei's on deck. That's why no one saw it coming, because everyone's thinking about Shohei. Okay, this is game seven. So if the nine hitter got out and it was two outs, I was so curious if they'd auto walk Shohei. Would that not have been just a ultimate moment to find out what people are thinking in baseball? And then he busts one out of the park. And he didn't even have to think about Shohei.
Mm.
That's a great point.
It was this close.
Totally consumed with what's going to happen. Shohei's going to be up.
I was so happy.
Robbie M. has just got the biggest crown going.
Oh, my God.
Game seven, two outs, down to Ohtani. Hell yeah.
Unbelievable.
And then Rojas f***ed it up for him. But
I know.
Like you said about watching Cal Raleigh, like, wait, why is he on first? You don't even have time.
You didn't hear the finger snap.
To explain why the intentional walk is a thing. Yeah, so people are booing and you got someone next to you going, I don't get it. And you get to be like, hey,
yeah,
here's the situation and the stakes are really high and how fun is that? And then you're like, oh, I'm on board.
At least when they throw the pitches, like anyone looking at it understands instantly, oh, I know what they're doing and I know why they're doing it. It's like, oh, they don't want to pitch to this guy.
So
they're throwing balls on purpose.
If you're a batter and you're getting intentionally walked, do you even need to get into the batter's box or can you just go from the on deck circle to the first base?
I think the official rule is once you put your hat on, the other manager puts the four in the air and then you just go to first. Yeah.
All right. Y'all down for the dugout cam or what? Is that sacred space?
Dude, they got cameras on the umpire now. I mean, like...
Let's find out.
Let's go to the camera inside someone's pants. I mean, I don't care anymore. Like, fuck it.
Who's swinging what?
Yeah.
Blow it up. Who cares?
Oh, that's way out.
How many years away are we from them having a little tiny camera inside the baseball cap on every guy out there?
Probably pretty soon.
It'll be those Meta sunglasses, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about this right now. How hurting... is the camera guy that follows the guy that just hit a home run from third to home? If you ever get the zoom out view of the camera guy following him, You pay a high price if you're at that field. You have to watch some dumb stumbling next to the guy so we can get a view right here so we can point to the sky. Anyone into that?
Oh, I hate it. It's the worst, especially considering there's rules about how the other players aren't even allowed to be in certain places, you know? Like this guy, he's wearing all black, holding a Steadicam.
Gimbal.
Looking like a crab scooting around.
And he's doing his best, but the boom's in the way, and he hits third base.
Yeah, good point.
And
yeah. Well, don't worry, guys. It's going to be a drone real soon. Yeah. They're going to definitely replace that human. That guy doesn't need to be there. It'll be a drone.
Yeah, dugout cam ruins me for all the reasons that you guys also get ruined by it. But the folklore or the stories you hear after the fact, you're not doing the sport any service or the event. Like, let it play out, and then you get to have the conversations or ask someone a question that was there. And you're like, yeah, in the dugout, Freeman was like a maniac and he was just counting the pitches and waiting for his pitch or what. I don't know. Like, that stuff means something. It's fun to hear that story, like that romanticism of the game, not some guy with a fucking camera.
Okay. I want to know, how big did Rob win? Let's hear some numbers. Let's hear some attendance numbers.
Okay.
How big of a victory?
I am ready to get to the numbers, but I have one more gripe.
Oh, I got a list of gripes.
I have one more gripe before we get to the numbers. This is my biggest gripe of all. Okay. Now, I know you guys noticed the 15-second split screen ads they would cut to in the middle of the game
with Derek Jeter in them.
What the fuck? There were tense moments all throughout the playoffs. Like, this happened in one of the World Series games. It's like one out. Bottom of the ninth.
Every time there was a pinch hitter.
And instead of listening to the announcers, they just cut to this 15-second Capital One ad in a split screen. And all the audio goes to the commercial. And it's like, I just sat there.
I'd mute it.
Dumbfounded. People did not like that. Like, there was a lot of people that are like, you're going to cut to commercial right then and there. And it really got me thinking, you guys. It really got me thinking, because this is really unpopular. These advertisers are so desperate. Because they know in between innings, people are on their phones.
Mm.
They're not watching. They've got to get that ad. They got to inject it right into the game when the announcer should be, even in a tense moment, bottom of the ninth, like a guy on base. And it's like, and a message from Capital One. And they're talking all fast because it's one of those condensed commercials. And they got to get it all in 15 seconds. You know, blah, blah, blah.
No, but it's you're just not answering the question. What's in your wallet? They want to know. Well, they kept asking.
Yeah.
You didn't have the courtesy to answer.
No, it's rhetorical now.
Yeah.
They knew what was in your wallet.
You know what Derek Jeter's packing.
Dude, I remember that vividly because I was thinking the same thing of the pinch hitter was coming up in the ninth. And so they went to have a mound visit to essentially give the pitcher the game plan of what to do with this guy. I mean, Smoltz must have been livid. That was his moment. And they're like, hold on, let's cut to Capital One. But yeah.
You're going to square around early.
And it's everywhere now. I mean, now they got the shit on the helmet. It's like, how do you keep up?
As many as they can fit.
A lot of FanDuel, that's for sure.
And every year they just give a little bit more. Like, I notice now the little chalk ad on the back of the mound is in color now.
I didn't notice this.
That's how they slowly turn it up. Like, pretty soon it's just going to be freaking ads floating in the sky while the guy's catching the fly ball.
It's big money. It's big business. I mean, if you look at all the principal owners of all the major league ball clubs, first off, their net worths are unbelievable.
They're all billionaires.
Multi-billionaires. How they made their money is through like financial planning and investment management. Even advertising is how the Los Angeles Angels, owned by Art Moreno and company, net worth is $4.9 billion, which is like up there in the top.
It's not bad.
The top like five.
No way.
I think that's up there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not enough to re-sign Ohtani. Too bad.
Yeah.
Going back to the casual fans, I think a lot of people were rooting for the Blue Jays. I think just because they were the underdog. But I had a couple of these casual fans mention to me like, oh, they bought it. The Dodgers bought it.
Yeah, exactly. And that was kind of to my point earlier. It's like they're just willing to spend.
They can afford it.
A lot of these other principal owners, they have the money. They're just not willing to spend it.
And that's not new.
Well, yeah, that's how they became billionaires, getting other people to take on risk and then, you know, reaping all the reward.
Yankees did that shit back in the day. And when you're top dog, and you should win, people are coming for you. And when you don't win, it's a letdown. And when the underdog wins, it's far easier to root for them. But I mean, Didn't the Yankees buy Reggie Jackson? Wasn't that a huge thing?
Def.
Aren't Yankees fans the worst? Every time there's a losing streak, they're like, get rid of the manager. It's like, come on, guys.
I got to say, there's something funny about the Giants with their $171 million to win as many as you lose. So, like, you didn't get anywhere. So, in my mind, because it's not like they got last place. Like, they did something. But in terms of buku money, yep, we got out there. We spent $171 million. How'd you do? Even. No more wins than losses. Is that a success? It's like, I don't know. There's some kind of embarrassing about it.
Is that what it takes? How much does it cost to win a game in baseball these days?
Right. Oh, that's a good question. I'm sure there's this algorithm for that.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
So you're talking about how the Giants, they're spending a little bit more than the average team. They're spending $171 million on payroll. But I mean, look at how they got outspended in their own division, like by the Dodgers and the Padres. So it's really hard to compete.
I got something that'll blow all of your minds with a simple thought. Just picture this in the mind. Do you know how different Game 7 or all the World Series games would have been if the pitcher had to bat? Think about how they were using their roster, how they were using the extra guys. Do you imagine an 18-inning game where you have to actually strategize if the pitcher's going to bat or not?
A1, you mentioned how hardball is currently maybe 80% of
85.
That's just a number I came up with. Yeah.
Well, yeah, which caught my attention. I thought it was interesting. So next year when they implement the new rules,
ABS appeal.
Yeah.
It'll go down.
Now how much shrinkage does
it'll go down
MLB get?
Well, it kind of depends, because A2's always said it's going to be three challenges and then it's going to be four challenges. Then it's going to be one per inning and then it's going to be one per batter. And so it's going to be the tennis structure of just the robot calls the zone. It's either in the box or it's not, period.
Yeah.
Where I always said it will crumble because the in ballpark experience will be so much less. There'll be so much humanity extracted out of the game that people won't even necessarily know why. They just don't have the same vibes or feeling for the entire sport. We'll probably get it into the low 80s, and it might be worse than that.
Yeah.
Game 7 was so sick, but you're telling me it wouldn't have been better without a clock? There was no replay. Oh, that was another thing I wanted to bring up.
Well,
what if they would have overturned the play where Will Smith lifted his foot a quarter of an inch off the plate and you're like, no, it's a baseball play. He's out. And you go, well, let's see what really actually happened.
I've seen them, when they have a better camera angle, make that exact reversal.
Right.
And they made that call quick. It's like, no, he's out.
One of the things that the league said they were going to do when they implemented this was they were going to say, if it's really, really close, we're going to always go with the call on the field.
That's good.
I don't think that's true anymore. I think they've changed their thinking. I think if some guy in New York sees that there's one pixel difference, he's going to reverse it.
Everyone disagrees with me that replay sucks and get rid of it. But how do you feel when you're watching a game and you're waiting for them to decide? And you have players with hands on hips. Fans in the stands don't get to cheer for what happened. I mean, everyone just keeps telling me, well, don't you want the call to be right? What about what's extracted? Do you really want to stand in the stands and not be able to cheer at that moment? I mean, it's just, I can't believe no one cares about that. Why does no one care about
that?
They
want the call to be right.
And they want the call to be right.
Conversations I've had with baseball fans this past weekend, they're like, we're talking about how the ABS system is coming up next year. And they're like, well, it's about time. These umpires just keep getting the calls wrong.
Yeah.
And
they've never been better.
Getting the call wrong is subjective, right? It's like, it's up to the umpire what is right and wrong, or as it was, you know.
Not anymore.
It's just going to be a less interesting play to watch. And,
you know,
people are going to have to find out the hard way that baseball is less interesting with robots.
When you have those pauses, A1, right? Where these dramatic pauses where we're kind of like, you don't get to cheer in the moment. We got our popcorn, man. We got
it's
our
a great time to visit the concessions, brought to you by T-Mobile.
Yeah,
I guess.
I think MLB thinks they have it both ways.
Draining.
It's only a real sophisticated fan who sees a really close play that's obviously going to get appealed, knows that it's going to be appealed. I think a lot of people get to cheer and then go, oh.
So much like NFL. It makes me sick.
I'm pretty excited about the direction of hardball. There's just so much more that they can change. And so much more that they can tweak. I'm excited as a hardball fan.
Yeah.
Like, it can look so much different moving forward. There's so much room for change.
You're ready for them to ban the intentional walk so they have to pitch to Shohei?
Right.
Because A4 is so jacked on hardball, he's going to go watch the Las Vegas Renegades, get no intentional walks, live. It's going to be amazing.
Dude, I got breaking news on that Las Vegas team. They're not going Renegades. You know what they're going with?
What?
Dude, they're moving away from the coast. Las Vegas Landlubbers.
Landlubbers?
They're going Landlubbers.
All right.
Yeah, Renegades is out.
I get it.
You guys aren't surprised by this.
I was just trying to think of the worst.
They've gone Landlubbers.
The best or worst adult league softball name that you can just plug in there. I didn't even think Coastline.
What?
You guys want to get to the numbers?
Yes.
Dude, let's do the numbers.
Okay. So once again, Mona Lisa Baseball has correlated the tenants with the national weather forecast data.
Excellent.
To bring you cutting edge statistics on attendance for the 2025 season.
Yes.
Unfortunately, due to government cuts and shutdowns, the National Weather Service data is only partially available.
So we're not going to be able to be as precise as we wanted.
If you think that the government shutdown doesn't affect your life, well, it affects this podcast.
Mm.
Can tell you that. So
ouch.
Here's how I'm going to characterize some of these numbers. Attendance was flat. And it probably would have been up except for the A's and the Rays.
Flat.
So attendance numbers are good if you're Rob.
Same as last year.
Yeah, it's a little bit better, but it just would have been a lot better if like the A's were playing in a major league stadium.
What team tops that list?
The Dodgers.
Dodgers are number one?
They fill that thing up every night. Huh.
By the fifth inning. Empty by the seventh.
I was there. Tink.
Quick selfie. All right, I'm out. Yeah.
Saw at least four pitches.
Picture with the Colonel.
It's season five, so we've been doing this together 4 years. So we'll just say 4 years of data.
Yeah.
We're going to say attendance in those 4 years, beginning of the 2022 season. Up a little?
It's creeping up. It's kind of...
A little every season?
Yeah, it's hard to say exactly, but the attendance numbers are some of the best numbers we have. The TV numbers are super nebulous.
Yeah.
It's creeping up. I mean, it just took such a big hit. You know, you hate it when I say, oh, we're back to 2013 levels. We're back to 2018 levels.
Sure.
It's just one of those situations. We're coming back. Baseball's coming back a little bit from COVID, which just hit it really hard, really hard. In terms of like World Series ratings and postseason ratings, every series is different. But the World Series this year is down a little bit. That's just to be expected.
From last year.
From last year, because last year you had the Dodgers and the Yankees, and that's the best case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure these guys are high-fiving themselves. The numbers look pretty good. They're up here, they're up there. It's really hard to pin down TV ratings because Nielsen just made a big change to the way they count. And so many people now are streaming. The reporting companies are having a hard time kind of like catch up with that. Because there's just always a new way to go. I mean, if you listen to Rob, he's going to tell you that the networks were up. The numbers on their platform were up. I'm telling you, a lot of that comes from Japan. LA with three big Japanese players on their team, you know. You've got Otani and Yamamoto and Sasaki. And it's kind of a best case scenario for them. When there's a World Series, it goes seven and the Dodgers win. That's really the best case scenario for them. The wild card, division winning, wild card winning.
I was glad you said that.
Repeat World Series champions.
So basically, thus far, the predictions that I made on season one, I remember calling it a sinking ship. It seems like that's dead wrong.
Uh-oh.
Not even close to sinking ship. But that could be a long-term thing as the rules keep falling away and changing, chasing its tail, getting away from the perfect game that it was. But if everyone's buying into it, then...
I just think it's going to take longer, A1. I think it's going to take a lot longer.
Right.
You're going to need more robots. You're going to need more swing-offs.
Right.
For people to really notice that something's changed or that it doesn't feel the same.
When they change the lexicon of runs to points, that will be a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's a run?
That'll be a big hit to me. A2, have you picked out your sushi restaurant yet?
Yeah.
On the house.
Much like your prediction that baseball would fall apart, your prediction about Shohei Ohtani making starts was...
How many was it?
Unfortunately for you.
Was it like 12?
Definitely over 10.
It was over 10, but...
I want to say something. This is important. Because a lot of those starts were one or three or four innings. And in the spirit of the fact that those aren't real starts, those were... I don't even know what they were doing. Like, what were the Dodgers doing? I think it's just feeling him out. Those don't count. So what's going to happen is we're going to call the bet a tie, and we can just go out to sushi, and no one has to pay for the other guy.
Go out to sushi.
One inning start. What the fuck is that? Come on.
Well, I thank you for your magnanimous attitude towards this. I was happy to pay, but I am a cheapskate, and I am happy to only pay half.
It wouldn't feel right. It wouldn't feel right. Those aren't real starts. Come on.
The use of the word start was semantical.
I mean, if we had talked about number of innings, you probably would have won the bet.
Hey, he started.
That wasn't the bet, though.
Right. Like, well, he threw 12 pitches. It's a start. Basically, the main point I was trying to make was his bat is too important for them to fuck around with his pitching. And they're just going to say, Shohei, you're pretty good at pitching, but can you please just bat for us? We're paying you a lot of money. I was convinced it was going that way. And it was so cool to watch him start game four. And then the news came out that he might start game seven. I thought, this is just Rob's wet dream all over. And how good is this?
Yeah. Well, you and
Rob just getting what he wants.
You and Barry Bonds agree. Barry thinks he should just concentrate on hitting and maybe pitch out a relief every once in a while. So
obviously, I've said it before, but wouldn't it just be the best if he would exit the game in the fourth inning and then go to right field or first base? I mean,
be so much better.
Now we're playing baseball.
Yeah, stick him in right field. We've made this point before. It just blows my mind. People don't even think about it. It's not even like a possibility in their little baseball mind.
I know, even though it happens every day in Little League, every single parent has seen it 100 times.
Oh my God.
All right, Timmy, you're going to third. You're going to third. It's like, all right, cool.
How many times did I have to listen to somebody talk about, well, it's a pitcher with dirt on him? I'm just like, oh man, that's how it's supposed to be.
Ball player. A3 Montana guy, we haven't talked to you since the first episode of the season. Has your pulse on baseball/hardball changed much? Would you say you're kind of in the same arena? Your sons are getting older.
A4 alluded to it. Like, my fandom for the Giants is still very real. So towards the end of the season, they got real hot, real cold. And it was like, okay, this
wild
is
wild card style.
This could be kind of fun to watch. And it was actually a week where they were going to play the Dodgers. So we were going into the weekend series with the Dodgers, and I like put the kids in their jerseys, and I'm like, check it out. We're going to watch this game until you can't make it anymore. It's like a 6 innings I got out of one game. And most of the time I just catch it on my phone. But playoffs was really fun. I was really excited to check out the Mariners. There's like a pretty decent Mariner contingent out here. So that was kind of fun. They've never really been on my radar. Them playing the Blue Jays into seven.
Oh, man.
I was watching that game a little bit going, whoever wins this is obviously my pick for the World Series. So that was cool.
I watched that series. It was awesome.
Now it's just...
I was rooting for the Mariners the whole time, so...
It's just rough to watch the deterioration, in my opinion. Like, and that's, and that's such a cynical way to feel, but I felt it. So I was kind of really engaged with, like, how am I feeling about watching this right now? And even in the 18-inning game, there were some things that happened. There was a play at the plate. The Blue Jays brought in a pinch runner, and he was out by a mile at home. And the announcer said something like, you know, there could have been a collision there. And it stopped me in my tracks. I was like, what did he just say? And I mentioned it to you guys. Like, what if there was a collision and it would have been legal? And I think he said that, and then they didn't address it again. They were like, it's like someone got on in his ear. It was like, what are you doing, dude? Like, shut it down.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, we got conspiracy theories going. Here we go.
It was really stupid to think that way.
Right. What he was starting to say was you can legally plow the catcher in some scenarios. And I'm going
big time. And I am on record of saying
that's the first I've heard of that in 5 to 10 years.
Collision at the plate seems stupid. And then while I was watching this, I was like, I think what I had a problem with was maybe the equivalent of defenseless receiver, a guy going up the middle and doesn't have the ball and he gets lit. Like, that's how I felt what happened in the Posey collision.
Yep.
And in this one, it was like the ball was there. He was waiting for it, and would he have gotten trucked? Would it have taken away from the game? I don't know. It was really kind of a interesting few minutes for me because I didn't even think that wasn't even a possibility anymore. It was wild.
Yeah, they cut his mic just in time.
We are all about injury prevention, you guys. Like, we cannot let these stars get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's unthinkable. I mean, imagine if Shohei had got hurt before the World Series. It would have destroyed their whole plan. They would have still had his face up there and cut to interviews with him all the time, even though he wasn't playing. You know what really stuck with me? This was really emblematic of the change in players' attitudes on the field for me. What really stuck with me was the ball that got stuck under the padding in game six.
I could tell you were going somewhere with that,
Dude in the outfield, Ali Sanchez.
What?
He didn't even try to get that ball.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Oh.
He just waves his hands here. He's like, oh,
put your hands up.
Look at the ball. Well, I can
hardly see
do anything about that. It's stuck. And it's like, okay, yeah, technically it's stuck. But like the fact that he didn't reach for and pick up an obviously pick upable ball and throw it back and let him make that call later is just so indicative of like, I don't know. I guess when you're in the World Series or any game, you do whatever it takes to help your team win. Mm-hmm. But it just shows you where his head's at. You know, the minute he saw it go under there, he's like, ah, this is going to save a run for our team, instead of like play baseball, grab the ball, throw it back. Like any other level of the sport, you have to play that ball.
A4, not buying it?
Well, the problem is that if he actually does try and go and play it and it is stuck.
What a wimp.
Then it's like, oh, I should have put my hands up beforehand. They teach you to put your hands up if it's jammed or logged or anything weird. I mean, he ended up, like you said, saving a run, and that's what you're supposed to do. But that's what they tell us.
I hated it. I wanted to see the baseball player play baseball. I did not want to see him stop playing baseball and start reading the rule book live in center field. That's not what I want to see. Okay.
Okay. I got a stuck with me thing that I saw that you don't get in any other sport. The bigger the game and the worse the loss, the better version of this you're going to get. Your team loses. You're on the brink of winning. The camera always shows into the losing team's dugout, and the players, even the managers, are staring at the celebration of the other team, and they're just taking on that emotion. In basketball, they give each other five, pat each other on the ass, say, we all made a few mil tonight. In baseball, you can feel the pain. They don't know they're getting recorded, but how much did it suck to have to see Snyder's face after the loss in game seven and not blinking, just staring straight forward at the celebration. Yeah. I thought that was just such a perfect example of how baseball is different than everything else. You just don't see that anywhere else.
What are you doing, dude?
Why does no one care about that?
Well, it's about time. These umpires just keep getting the calls wrong.
Story's been told.
What did he just say?
I just remembered.
I lit those fools up,
Here's the situation, and the stakes are really high, and how fun is that?
In baseball, you can feel the pain.